Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th House Apostolic Secretary and Congregation of the Bible 12th House in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is Tishri 20, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, Just When I Need Him Most. Just when I need him, Yahshua is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to change, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is near to comfort and share. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, Yahshua is true, never forsaking all the way through, giving for burdens, pleasures anew, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. Just when I need him, Yahshua is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long. For all my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, Yahshua is strong, bearing my burdens all the day long, for all my sorrow, giving a song, just when I need him most. Just when I need him more, just when I need him more, Yahshua is there to comfort and cheer, just when I need him more. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1:7, and that's the name of our sermon today. There's a lot of confusion out there in the world, both among the Jews and the Gentiles, the Hebrew Israelites, and their next of kin, blood kin, the Gentiles. You're in for a treat. I want to read to you a little bit about this Revelation chapter. As a matter of fact, we're going to do just read Revelation chapter 1 right now, the whole chapter. It says that for the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah, which Yahweh gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of the Yahweh and of the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah and of all things that he saw. Now, some people teach, and I am sure a lot of ministers teach, that this this messenger is Yahshua, that John was introduced to there on the Isle of Patmos that day. But it says, he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. Now, I know Yahshua is referred to also as an angel. So is Lucifer referred to as an angel. And we also have identities of other angels that works for the Heavenly Father, and that's Gabriel. Gabriel is one. There are many angels that do service, that are ministering spirits unto mankind here on earth. And so Yahweh has a special angel for a special mission and a message to give to any one individual as it is needed. In this case, John the Revelator, he is meeting up with an angel. And this angel, unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of the Yahweh, and of the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah, and of all things that he saw. Now, we know John chapter 1, verse 1, it talks about the Word, and also John 1:14. Okay, let's kind of look at that a moment and get an idea about this, more clarification on this word, Word, capital, W-O-R-D. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, you have to go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to know where to begin with us, with this world. In the beginning was the Word. Was is a past tense adverb, and which is roughly so, that's the right word to use because that's past tense. But when you use the verb is, that's present tense. So we're going to be interchanging these words. Past tense adverb was with the present tense verb is when we need to. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, it says here, for the benefit of our Gentile friends. We want to show them that the Word was with God. So, when you go to John 1:14, we find out more who this Word that was with God in the beginning was. And it says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we know then that's talking about Yahshua the Messiah, our Savior. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, let's go back to Revelation chapter 1, and let's deal with that word again. It says in verse 2, who bear record, this angel, of the word of the Father, Yahweh, Elohim. I use the Paleo-Hebrew identity of the literal Father's name and Son. And let's go ahead. And of the testimony of Yahshua Messiah and of all things that he saw. What is a testimony? Okay. In Exodus 31:13-18, it kind of gives us an idea of what a testimony is there. We might turn and look at that a minute, and I'd kind of get more of an idea of what a testimony really, what is one a word for testimony. And we'll find that the Ten Commandments is another word for testimonies. And the Ten Commandments cannot be changed. Once it was written in stone, it cannot be changed or altered in any way. And it says in Exodus 31:18, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him for Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God, the Father. Okay? So now there we have a definition for a testimony. Ten commandments, two tables of stone. And so it says, the testimony of the Yahshua Messiah then would be also that he is an authority and also a co-creator of the Ten Commandments. Now, why do I say that? Well, it says that in Mark 2:27-28, it kind of gives us an idea there about Yahshua being Lord also of the Sabbath. And we might turn and look at that right quick. It says here that in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also as master also of the Sabbath, or says Lord of the Sabbath. Lord means a ruler. Okay, so he's a ruler also of the Sabbath. Okay. So now, here we have it. And it goes on to say, in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John unto the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Alright, now we'll look at this. Now I want to say something at this point, that the Revelation is a compilation of everything that's contained in the seven books of the seven seals. So now, if you understand what's written in Revelation, what you read, then you can start understanding what's written and contained in the book of the seven seals, because Revelation is the unfolding of everything that has been written in that book of seven seals. There's a book, master book, that has seven books all told in it. Now, Daniel talks about a book also. Now, is that the book of seven seals? You know, people say, well, I don't know about this Daniel. Daniel there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Let's go look at it. It says that, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now your key word there is sealed, or seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Okay, now earlier here in Daniel 12 verse 1 it says, and at that time, well, let's read that Daniel 11 verse 45, the last verse in Daniel 11. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. Now I know no one knows what this is talking about there at this point, but it can be known. But it says in Daniel 12:1, it says, and at that time, at what time shall Michael stand up? What time? At the time that the enemy plants the tabernacles, S on tabernacles, more than one tabernacle, more than one location, of his palace between the seas. Now, seas in prophecy means nations of people. in the glorious holy mountain. In the glorious holy mountain. Now, what is that glorious holy mountain, and where is it? That glorious holy mountain is in Jerusalem. It's upon the kingly palace ground. And what Isaiah chapter 2 talks about. The mountain of the house of the Yahweh shall be established in the top of the mountains at Jerusalem. And many people shall come and say, let us go up and to the mountain of the house of the Yahweh, and we will learn of his ways and walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word, Yahshua, from Jerusalem. Okay? So he said, and he shall plant the tabernacle, talking about the enemy, talking about the Antichrist, okay? In the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, the Antichrist, that has taken charge for Satan. This Antichrist is Satan's incarnate that has taken charge of the governments of the world. He's in charge now. And none shall help him. But he comes to his end and none shall help him. After he plants the tabernacles, his many different sanctuaries, and all the nations were between the glorious the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Okay, so now then it goes on in Daniel 12:1. It says, and at that time, the Antichrist has established now his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. So the glorious holy mountain in Jerusalem, upon the kingly palace ground there at Jerusalem, is the center location of all the nations of the world. It's represented by these seas. It's the center of the earth. Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Okay? So it says, once again, in Daniel 12:1, and at that time, when that Antichrist sits up and plants his palace between the seas, in the glorious holy mountain at Jerusalem on the kingly palace ground, and that's where David originally set up the kingly palace ground, okay, and that's where it still stands today. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Okay, so now, it's not only, though, but that when he come to his end, that the king of the north and the king of the south is represented as fighting over the possession of Jerusalem here in the last days. And the king of the north is represented by the Catholic Church and the Pope. The Pope represents the king of the north. And the king of the south is none other but represented by the head of the Muslim world, the Muslim Brotherhood, and you know who that is. The one that's financing ISIS with American money and George Soros' money. The one that's doing that is the antitypical king of Babylon, spiritual Babylon, and that title falls on the Antichrist, which is represented by the false prophet there in Revelation 19:20. And that false prophet is the title of that this false Messiah, the anti-incarnate of Satan, that has taken over the rulership of not only our government but the governments of the world. That's where he's able to plant his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. And that would be Barack Obama. He's the king of the south. When you will read Daniel more about Daniel 8 through 11, you'll find out that there's two kings there vying for the taking over the capital of the world, Jerusalem, and that's in that glorious holy mountain. But guess what? The reason they come to their end, because there's a prophecy in Zechariah 14 that shows, so records their end. It's that great final battle of Armageddon that takes place there, recorded there in Zechariah chapter 14. Because the Messiah comes with all the saints with him, and he establishes the everlasting kingdom of heaven right there in that glorious holy mountain there in Daniel 11:45, where this here Antichrist comes to his end. And none to help him. Okay. Now, when does he come to his end and none to help him? In Daniel 11:45, when does he come to his end and none to help him? We go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and from verse 1 through 8. Let's go ahead and read that, verse 1 through 8. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Savior Yahshua Messiah. Now, what's the name of our sermon? Behold, he come with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Okay, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, and by our getting together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by the Spirit, nor by the Word, nor by the letter, as from us, as that the day of Yahshua is at hand. That no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So now, who is this man of sin and the son of perdition? Now keep in mind, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, was a son of perdition. And he came to his end at the hand of the Messiah. By the hand of the Messiah. But anyway, it's talking about they've got to first come falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed. But first it starts with someone that has wormed his way into the cabinet of the minister. And in our case, this is a ministry of the king of the universe, and that's Yahshua, the Messiah. So, as Yahshua set up 12 apostles, 12 foundations, but you'll find those 12 foundations are mentioned there in Revelation 21. As he set the apostles to establish the 12 foundations in his day 2,000 years ago, so likewise, he's going to set up a foundation again, reset that foundation up again, with some antitypical apostles, 12 of them, and the only place you can find the number 12 is with the 144,000, the 12 tribes of Israel, mentioned in Revelation 7 and 14. But let's go back now to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. That's talking about any minister. Because it says right there, and also in Matthew 24, verse 5, says, let no man deceive you. For many false Christ ministers have gone out there into the world. Alright, so it says, first of all, it says, let no man deceive you by any means. In other words, somebody comes along and says, lo, he's here, lo, he's there, go not there. You know. You got to know where, if you know where he's at all times, then you won't be deceived by somebody coming along and saying, lo, he is here, or lo, he is there. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, in our case, for the brevity of just narrowing it right down to who we can put a pinpoint on someone that to be identified as a man of sin, we would have to go to our leader of our president of the United States. Okay? Because when he went to the UN in 2010, they had him crowned as the king of the world. The president of the UN had him crowned as the king of the world, Obama. And they said he is the savior of the world. He's come down as the savior of the world. That's what the UN said, now 2010. So, and it says the world, for the most part, has accepted Obama as the deliverer and the savior of the world, has been sent to save the poor people of the world, the downtrodden. All right. So it says now in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called Yahweh. Now, that this man of sin that is revealed. All of a sudden, he's revealed. And who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called Yahweh, or that is worshipped, so that he, as the Yahweh, sitteth in the temple of Yahweh, showing himself that he is the God of this world, that he is the Most High God. He's taking the place of our ruler in the heavens, the Father, which I go by Yahweh Elohim. Okay. In verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And this is Paul talking to those Thessalonian Gentiles. And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Yahshua shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So, when we're talking about Yahshua coming secretly, and his congregation is going to be gathered together unto him that are waiting for him, and he's going to rapture them away secretly before the great time of trouble begins. Well, we need to consider these scriptures that I'm reading now, because it talks about hearing these prophecies, what's going to take place at the brightness of his coming when he comes in the clouds. And at this point now, we can go to Matthew 25:31 and talk and see about another coming there. 31, 31, 31, and 32. Let's go look at it. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. That's in verse 1 of Matthew 25. Okay, so it says, here is a description. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, what is that? Well, the bridegroom has come. He has come to reckon with those that he's married unto. Well, we have a wedding scene here. Okay, so now he's coming to get his bride is what he's doing. And that's his waiting saints. His waiting saints are his bride. Okay, Matthew 25, verse 2. And five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now the bridegroom announced that he was coming. And so the ten virgins, they were mixed between the wise and the unwise at this place. But the 10 is a universal number, meaning all of those that has their names put on the Lamb's Book of Life in the house of Israel. It's not talking about the Gentile world here, folks. It's talking about the bride is made up in the house of Israel. Now, your Gentile people, which are blood kin to, they're Israelites as well. They're Israelites as well. They're mostly from the 10 tribes that are scattered abroad, but they're descendants of the 10 tribes. They make up the guests. They make up the ones that sits out there and that are invited as guests to come to the wedding feast. Okay. But it says in Matthew 25, verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now, who are the foolish? Well, we know the five wise ones, the bride, which represents the bride of our Savior, Yeshua, when he comes to take his bride, is Hebrew Israelites. We have the 12 tribes of Israel. But who are these five foolish virgins? They represent the Gentile world, the second fruits that are going to be harvested in the end time. So therefore, they could not, the five foolish virgins could not represent the bride of our Savior, because they didn't take the extra oil when it was offered to them to come into the kingdom and to be sealed with the five wise virgins. The five wise virgins allowed them to come and join their church, and they co-mingled with them. They worshiped with them. They all had access to that same golden bowl that I mentioned in Zechariah 4, where all the spirit of prophecy dovetails out of those two olive trees representing the Old and New Testament there in Zechariah 4, dovetailing into that golden bowl, and these here 10 virgins, they had access to that oil in the golden bowl that came out of the Old Testament and the New Testament, represented by those two olive trees, with their golden oil pouring out of them into the golden bowl there in Zechariah 4. The Old and New Testament, in other words, the spirit of prophecy being illuminated by inspiration by his chosen prophet to interpret the truth coming out of the Old and the New Testament into that golden bowl. This is that extra oil that all 10 virgins were required to obtain. Well, the five wise virgins obtained all the oil that had made its way into that golden bowl out of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the wise answer saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather unto them that sell and buy for yourselves. So the five foolish now, they've been told where they can go get this oil. And the only place that they can get this oil, because the five foolish represents the Gentile world, the only place that they can get this oil is they have to go to the house of Israel, to the prophet that's in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, the seventh candlestick mentioned there in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through 19. They've got to go to that seventh candlestick, whoever's in charge of that. Now that seventh candlestick is a menorah. The name for it is a menorah. And the menorah is something that represents the government of Israel with the sanctuary service. That's what the menorah represents. It represents the government of heaven. Okay? Now, in Matthew 25, verse 10, and it says, and while they went to buy, this talking about the five foolish virgins, the bridegroom came. Now, this is the coming of the Messiah. Second coming of the Messiah, mentioned there in 2 Thessalonians 4:16. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Master, open up to us. It says, Lord, Lord, here. We know who that is talking about. Talking about the Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah. Said, open up unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Now, why is that? Yahweh is not going to close probation on the world until everybody that is called by his name has a chance to respond to the invitation to come to the great banquet and dine. And I've written a song, Come to the Banquet and Dine. And it is very appropriate for this time. It says, Matthew 25, verse 13, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Okay, so now he's telling you here in Matthew 25, Watch ye therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I think the whole world would agree to that statement, because nobody knows the day nor the hour today. If you would ask any preacher of any church, I don't care who it is, they would tell you, well, the Bible plainly tells you no man knows the day nor the hour. But they won't go on to tell you, though, but the Father didn't say that he would not make it known at a future time when it is before he sends his Son to this world. He doesn't say that he's not going to make it known to them. He just says at that time that this was written that no man knows the day and hour, and that's true. Okay. Of course, it says there, he comes in the volume of the book that is written of him. So he comes in that volume. Okay. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. All right, now what about that? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, unto every man according unto his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, I was visiting a Gentile congregation here in Liberty Hill, Texas, this last Sunday. And they have a young preacher there, and he's a very, very brilliant young man. And I like the way he uses the Bible. He used exclusively the King James Version, which is number one to me. And he has more than one talent. A man can preach, and a man can sing. And I know those two talents. He has 2 talents. He's a minister of music, and he's a minister of the word. And the man appears to have great potential, this young minister. Okay, so it says then in Matthew 25:16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his master's money. So in other words, talents translates into money if you use it right. The right kind of money. The kind that will perpetuate the gospel and help to get the gospel out to the masses. Okay. So it says in verse 19, After a long time, the master of those servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. Now, here's the coming of the Messiah right here. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. So he's going to come and reckon with those servants that he let out his vineyard to. You can go read all about that in Luke chapter 19 as well. Verse 20, And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His master said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord and Master. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Okay. Now, I just mentioned to you about a young man I met that obviously has 2 talents, at least 2 talents, and I'm suspecting that he probably has more than that. Verse 23. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The master answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Now all these are words that I'm reading here, they are in red, meaning that this is the words of the Messiah. These are his words as they were dictated and put in print. Verse 29, Matthew 25. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, now keep in mind, these servants are ministers. They've been placed over the candlestick, the menorah, of the house of Israel. Okay? And apparently, this slothful one that didn't gain anything with his 1 talent, He got his reward. He said he didn't make any money with it, so he didn't get any money. And a penny a day represents eternal life forevermore. And that's really what he was working for, eternal life. And he ended up losing it. So it says, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, when he came to reckon with his 3 servants that he'd hired earlier there in Matthew 25, in verse 14 it says, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, these servants are called by the Spirit here on earth. They're not in heaven. So, Yeshua, by his Spirit, had to call these 3 servants. And unto one he gave 5 talents, unto another he gave 2, another he gave 1. Okay. And he said then he took his journey. So Yeshua came to this earth, he hired 3 servants at 3 different times to rule over his kingdom and to bring in a harvest of souls. And then he went back to heaven. He said he straightway took his journey and went back to heaven. So there is a coming of the Messiah right there, just to hire people to work in his vineyard. As a matter of fact, you go in Matthew 20, and it talks about the parable of the 5 groups of laborers that was hired at 5 different times to work in his vineyard. And Moses was the first one hired, 1500 B.C., 3,500 years ago. So Yeshua came then, and he joined Moses in leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Yeshua was right there. With Moses right there, he came in clouds. In the clouds, it says so there in Ezekiel 1:26-27-28. Said he came in the clouds. He comes at different times in that flying chariot of his. He came to Moses. And then in Matthew 20, as it goes on to say, he went out the early morning hour and he heard Moses, and then he said he went out and he heard him, and they agreed with him for a penny a day. So there's your penny a day, eternal life. They said, we'll work for you if you'll give us eternal life. He says, you'll have your eternal life if you do what I command you to do. You'll get your eternal life. That's your penny a day. Matthew 20, verse 3. And he went out about the third hour. There's your second time that he went out into our labors into his vineyard. And who was that? That was at the cross. Yeshua came and hired the 12 apostles to work in his vineyard. And then he says in verse 4, and he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, talking about his 12 apostles. Whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. So at two other different times, every time the Savior come and hired people to work in his vineyard, he goes back to heaven. And so then he came back at the sixth hour, and I told you when the third hour was. It was at the cross. But the sixth hour, I'm going to keep that information right now until a later date to myself, because I know when it was. But nevertheless, for the sake of our Gentile brethren that might have a hard time with that, I'm going to hold that up for right now. Again, he went out about the sixth hour, means at another time. He came back to this earth at another later date, and he hired people at the sixth hour. And then he came at the ninth hour, and he did likewise. And then about the 11th hour, verse 6, Matthew 20, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Now, I will tell you this, though. We're at the place where we're at the 11th hour call. And that's the name of my website, 11thhourcall.com. Okay? Now, if you want to click on the latest breaking news from heaven, just click on my website on a daily basis, 11thhourcall.com, and you'll hear this sermon here that I'm preaching today. Okay, so it says in Matthew 20, verse 8, so when even was come, the master of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that was hired about the 11th hour, he received every man a penny. So all those that was hired at the 11th hour, they all got eternal life. But you know what? And those that was hired before then, they didn't all get eternal life. Those that was hired at the early morning, Matthew 20, verse 1 and 2, those that was hired at the third hour with the disciples and Yahshua at the cross, they didn't all end up getting eternal life. Those that was hired at the sixth and the ninth hour, all of them didn't get eternal life. But those that was hired at the 11th hour, the ones that was hired there and went forth into the vineyard, they're the ones, every one of them received eternal life. They got their penny a day. Well, it says right there in verse 2 of Matthew 20, it says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So, first when he called all these laborers to work at these five different prophetic intervals, they agreed with him for the penny a day, that they would be faithful and do all that he's called them to do, and they'd get their penny a day. Well, I'm saying that, but what it says right there in Daniel chapter 12, many are called and few are chosen. Okay? And then it goes on to say there in Romans 8:26, 27, 28, those whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Let's read about it. It says, in verse 26, in Romans 8, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. Okay, now it says, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Father, Yahweh, unto them who are the called according unto his purpose. So now, look at that. For we know that all things work together for good unto them that work, that love his Father, unto them who are the called according unto his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay. What shall we say then say unto these things? If the Father be for us, who can be against us? And it says in verse 32 of Romans 8, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It says in verse 33, who shall lay anything unto the charge of the Father's elect? Elect, that means those as election, have been elected by the Spirit of grace to be preordained. Those that are preordained. This is the Father's election. It is Elohim that justified. But those that of the elect that was justified, in Romans 8:28, it says, in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Okay, there's a process of purification here, folks. First you're called, and then you're justified. And then you're sanctified, and then you're glorified. You have to go through those stages. Now let's go back to Matthew 25, and let's read verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now this is talking about when he comes in his glory. When he comes to those individual servants that he hired to work in his vineyard at five different times, right there, over a 3,500 year period, starting with Moses about 1500 B.C., he hired five groups of laborers over a period of 3,500 years to work in his vineyard, and every time he hired a group of laborers, he came to this earth and personally called them and hired them. Then he went back to heaven. So Yahshua has come at least five times since 1500 B.C. to this earth. We know he came 2,000 years ago because he died on the cross. We know that that was a coming. That's called the first advent. And the 2 Thessalonians 4:16 talks about his second advent. Okay. So we know that he came at least according to the five groups of labor that he hired at five different intervals. The first hour, the third hour, the sixth and the ninth, and the 11th hour. We know he came, had to come five different times. He calls there in Luke 19. You can read the whole chapter, Luke 19. And it verifies what I just told you. Okay, now, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall sit the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5? be ye clothed upon with this house from heaven, the sanctuary system. Naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now these brethren are his called, chosen, and faithful. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, unto the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Master, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the one to, of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into the eternal life eternal. May the Heavenly Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit add their blessing unto the reading of this word. Let us close now with a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Come to the banquet and dine, the Savior.
the waist of his shoe and the head of the lion. He can still change the water into wine. So come, everyone, to the banquet and dine. For a long time, the saints have been waiting. They received their call from the grave. They received their reward in glory. And to praise the one who's mighty to save. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? The Savior waits to greet you at the head of the line. He can still change the water into wine. So come, everyone, to the banquet and dine. As the angels go forth, they have a duty to perform. Send hurt not your servants, and do them no harm. For they have the last work to do for humankind. So they all come together to the banquet and dine. Oh, won't you come to the banquet and dine? The Savior is to greet you at the head of the line. We can still change the water.